Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming so early in the last day. I would like to, first of all, to thank the organizer for a kind of invitation to participate in this very interesting, very nice, and very productive meeting. Today I would like to talk about the theory of spiral waves, and more generally about the theory of the rotating structure in weakly excitable media. I hope you had time already to read this first page. Okay, so exactly speaking, I will talk about the spiral wave rotating in a disk with no flux boundary. It's well known solution. A lot of people have studied this, including, for example, Vadim Bektashev. You can observe such a regime in your Petri dish, especially in cell culture, probably. And another regime is such excited spot, which is pinned to the boundary and is running along this boundary. So, to my knowledge, nobody have studied this before, and the reason is very simple. This solution does not exist in experiment because it's unstable. But I'm sure that this solution can be stabilized, at least in the Belousov-Rybatinsky reaction. You can apply corresponding feedback in order to stabilize such a solution. Why I'm so sure about this? Because the motivation for this study and the first idea of this study coming from the previous works. And during this conference we talked a lot about some wavelets. Yeah? In the Belousov-Rybatinsky reaction, such a wavelets the people called wave segments. And such stabilized wave segments have been observed in the Belousov-Rybatinsky reaction in the Scholter group. So here you can see the overlap six snapshots of this wave segments propagating from left to the right, and without any change in the shape, and with a constant propagation velocity. Principle, intrinsically, this solution is unstable. But if you organize the feedback, in this case it's less sensitive Bizet reaction, so you can eliminate this a little bit stronger. The size of this segment becomes larger, and you can decrease elimination if this size becomes smaller. And then, doing this way, you can stabilize this, and the shape of the size of these wave segments depend on the excitability of the medium. We have constructed some theory based on the free boundary approach, which describes the shape of this, and we have published this together with Scholter. And this theory is based practically on the theory proposed early by Karma for to describe the critical finger. What's critical finger? Critical finger, it's this wave segments, but infinitely large size, of infinitely large size. Okay. So, I would like to construct now the free boundary problem for the this rotating structures, and but this free boundary problem is very general because it's simply one can say kinematical description of this structure, but it's very useful to keep in mind some underlying model which you can use to test the prediction of this general model, kinematical model. We are using the Fitzhugh-Nagumo system. I don't know for the left ventricle or for the right ventricle, but it's a rather general description, and we assume simply that this coefficient epsilon is very small. It determines very huge difference in the time rate for the fast activator U and the slow inhibitor V. And the weakly we consider weakly excitability, and that means that this capital delta should be small. And this capital delta determines the distance between the rest state of our system and the null line. So this distance should be small, and then we can speak about the weakly excitability. In order, the first idea to construct the free boundary problem is to determine factors which specify the normal normal velocity of the front. One such factor is the value of the slow variable v near this jump from rest state to excited state. I don't like to describe all these mathematics. You can believe me that in the case when this capital delta is rather small, one can obtain such a result that the propagation velocity is proportional to this delta. And more generally, this propagation velocity is proportional to the value of the slow variable near this jump from rest state to the excited state. It's one important relationship, and it helped a lot. I would like to illustrate how does it work on this very simple example, the propagation of the pulses in one dimensional system. Here you can see this pulse. It's a leading front, it's the back of the pulse. The pulse is propagating from left to the right, and we would like to determine the width of this pulse. The propagation velocity of the front depends on the value of the slow variable near this jump from rest state to the excited state. The propagation velocity of the back depends on the value of the slow variable near the inverse jump. And inside this excited region, the slow variable increase linearly with time due to the our equation, reaction diffusion equation. But because our pulse is propagating with a constant velocity, it means that this slow variable increase linearly with space, in space. You know? And this is this relationship. And if we combine this relationship with obvious condition that the propagation velocity of the front should be the same as the propagation velocity of the back, but with opposite sign, you can immediately get immediately obtain the width of the pulse as a function of some parameters of your medium. Okay, so it's in 2D, in 1D. So what happens in 2D? In 2D, we would like to apply, in principle, the same idea. But the situation is a little bit more complicated because now the normal velocity depends on the curvature of the boundary. Yeah? So such a relationship, eigenvalue relationship, I'm sure that everybody in this auditorium knows this. So we would like to apply these two relationship in order to describe this this solution, these spots which is rotating around the disk boundary. So in this case, this boundary of the excited state includes two parts. One is the front, where the normal velocity is positive. The second is the back, where the normal velocity is negative. And they coincide at one point, the people call this phase change point, where the normal propagation velocity is equal to zero. Okay, it's suitable to count the arc lengths of this boundary starting at this phase change point. So for the front it will be positive, for the back it will be negative. And then we can represent the curvature of our line as a function of this arc length. We can represent the normal velocity of each point as a function of the arc length, and the tangential velocity of each point as a function of arc length. It was shown many years ago that these three functions, the normal velocity, tangential velocity, and the curvature, obey this very simple system of ordinary differential equation. And here this omega is a rotational frequency of our rotating pattern. After some scaling like this, this equation can be transformed in some dimensionless form. And we can start to analyze the solution of this equation. Here this rotation frequency omega can be given due to this very simple relationship. So I mean, if you assume that the curvature here near the disk boundary, the curvature of the front near the disk boundary is given, so it's kdr, then the omega can be given by such a very simple equation. And we can start to integrate our system for the front of our pattern. Yeah? And this integration should be stopped, then the normal velocity vanishes. So until the phase change point. It gives us the position of the spiral wave tip and the tangential velocity of the spiral wave tip. And we can use this data in order to start integration for the wave back. The same system of equation, but the normal velocity now depends on the distance between the front and the back. It's not simply distance, it's the angular distance in this case, because we are talking about the rotating structure. Okay, and it's clear that the solution of which we give, which we obtain during our integration, will depend on this parameter B. This parameter B is this combination of some characteristic of our medium. This parameter has been introduced first by Alain Darma when he had studied this problem of the critical finger. And then Hakim and Kamma use this for study of the spiral wave dynamic. So it's very nice that the same parameter appears here. And we can use this parameter to characterize the excitability of our medium. Okay. So the solution for the back will depend on this excitability B. And what does it mean? We should choose such a solution which is orthogonal to the boundary of the disk, because we have no flux boundary. Yeah? And it means that this it takes out that this coefficient B can be obtained by unique choice, and it gives us the relationship between the all the parameters of our model. So finally, at the first stage, after integration of the front, we can obtain the relationship between the tangential velocity of the tip and the curvature near the disk boundary and the radius of the disk. After the second stage, we can estimate our coefficient B, excitability, as a function of the CT and R. And from these two equations, we can exclude the CT, and then we can get the relationship between excitability, curvature, the disk boundary, and the radius of the disk. Yeah? You mean this alpha? alpha it determines the its slope of this linear relationship between the normal velocity and the slow variable near the jump to excited state. So it's if you have usually it's non-linear relationship between the propagation velocity and the value of the slow variable near the front, but in the vicinity of the null point where there's this propagation velocity is equal to zero, you can linearize this, and you get this as a slope of this linear relationship. Okay.
Now, what about the
sorry? Capital D. Capital D is the diffusion coefficient.
G.
Ah, capital G. Capital G, it's a. You can see it here. During the excited state, our slow variable increase linearly.
Why?
Because due to our equation, the action diffusion equation. Yeah. During the excited state, the U is somewhere here. Okay. So our point jumped to this point and then follow this null climb. So U is somewhere here, and you can put it's practically equal to this maximum, and you can put this maximum into this equation. So you will get this G star as a function simply on V. Okay? Okay. So, this is our selection mechanism.
Just a second.
Yeah?
This problem, so far, the same. I mean, the problem for the small problem for the far away, will it look exactly the same?
Yeah, it's exactly my point, because I would like to stress not only the difference between these two solutions, but they are common in such a
situation. There is no difference so far.
No, there is difference, and you will see this.
It will be later. Difference will come later.
Yeah. Just a moment, yeah. So after this selection, we have this selection principle, and we can integrate our system, and we can obtain, for example, that the rotational frequency of our spot is an increasing function of this excitability B. Here, two computations were performed for different disk radius, 8 and 24. Yeah, and what about the curvature near the disk boundary? You see, again, such a monotonously decreasing relationship can be obtained. And if we start to increase the radius of the disk further and further, we can get the case of the wave sequence propagating along a straight line. Yeah, so the disk with an infinitely large radius equivalent to the propagation of the wave segments along a straight line. And for this case, the solution was already obtained. It looked like this linear relationship, which is shown here by this dashed line. So give at least there is at least some relationship between the this wave segments within a disk and wave segments translating moving along a straight line. Now the spiral within a disk. Yeah. So, yeah, I forgot to say important things. Probably the curvature here, the curvature near the disk is always positive. Yeah. And vanishes at some critical points here. Yeah? What happens if we start to consider the negative curvature? Negative curvature. If the curvature here near the disk is negative, then it is clear that somewhere within our disk should be some point Q where the radial direction is tangential to our
boundary.
of our excited region. It means that the normal propagation direction is orthogonal to the radial direction at this point, and it means that this point Q will circulate around some closed pathway centered as the disk center. Okay, and now Vadim is right, we start to do very similar procedure. We have to determine the shape of this boundary. Let us assume that the curvature here, KQ, is given. Then we can start our integration of our the same system of equation. We start here, and in this case, this omega, the rotation frequency, is unknown. But we can choose such a rotation frequency at which the our solution will be orthogonal to the disk boundary. Okay, it can be done uniquely, and we get the relationship between omega, kq, and the radius of the disk. Then we start to integrate our the same system, but in this inner part of our trajectory, and until the point where the normal velocity is equal to zero, so until the phase change point, and it gives us the tangential velocity at this point and position of this point as a function of kq and omega. We can use this data and start as an initial condition and start to integrate it back. And again, the same situation as before. We start to integrate our system for the back, and there is this unknown value b, which determines the shape of our back. And we should choose this b in such a way that this line should be orthogonal to the boundary of the disk. Finally, our selection mechanism works like this, like following. The omega can be determined as a function of kq and r. Tangential velocity of the tip can be determined as a function of kq and r. And then the last step for the integration of the back, we can get the b as a function of tangential velocity, angular velocity, and the radius of the disk. And from these three equations, we can exclude omega and ct, and we get a relationship between the excitability of the medium, curvature at the point Q, and the radius of the disk. Okay, to illustrate this, we did again some simulation with the same two value of radius, 8 and 24. And this thick dotted line represent this result obtained for the spiral waves within the disk. For this value determines the it's 1/8, and this data this number is 1/24 curvature of this boundary. Okay, and you can see that omega, it turns out that omega is the decreasing function of b. Okay, but this thin dotted line represents our old results obtained for the segment rotating within a disk. And you see this, it was the increasing function. And these two solutions touch each other at this critical point. And why I'm so sure that they touch each other? It's numerics, you see. But the idea is the following. So for the wave segments, the curvature near the disk boundary is positive. For spiral waves, the curvature near the boundary is negative. And they touch each other exactly at the point where the both curvatures vanishes. Yeah? So from one point of view, these two solutions looks quite different. From another point of view, this solution represent two branches of the same solution, and they bifurcate at one critical point. And so it's coexistence solution. One is stable, it's spiral wave, another is unstable, it's this spot moving around the, our disk boundary. And yeah, by the way, then maybe you remember, if not, you can read it once more here. There is a rotational frequency of the wave signals within the disk. And if the curvature near the disk boundary vanishes, then the rotation frequency should be simply equal to the curvature of the disk boundary. And you can see here it's a curvature of the disk boundary, and this is these two solutions meet each other at this critical point, and it's exactly this value. So our description is self-consistent. Okay, and then we can do the next step. So we can consider the disk of infinitely large size. Then we can get the unbounded spiral wave. And here again, the same equation, the same the form or shape of the front and the back. And there is such a point Q where the radial direction is tangent to the our boundary of our excited region, and we can start our computation here in order to obtain such a solution which has the vanishing curvature in the infinity, or the normal velocity should go to unity with the arc length going to infinity. It gives us the omega as a function of Q. The next step in the integration in this inner part, so this integration gives us the tangential velocity of the as a function of the Kq, and we use this tangential velocity in order to integrate the shape of the back. Again, the same equation. Again, this coefficient B appears here, and we should choose this coefficient B in such a way that the curvature of the wave back goes to zero with arc length going to infinity. And very similar selection mechanism is working here again. So omega is determined as a function of Kq. Potential velocity of the tip is can be found as a function of the Kq and omega, and this coefficient B can be found as a function of tangential velocity at omega. From these three equations we can exclude omega in Ct, and we get finally again the relationship between excitability and Kq. Okay? Good.
So,
this is overlapping of all results obtained in this in framework of this approach. So this thin line represents the numerical data obtained for spiral waves rotating within in unbounded medium. As you can see easily, the solution for the spiral waves rotating in a disk, they go asymptotically to this line. So for disk of different radius, okay, there are some deviation from this asymptotic shape, but if the excitability is becomes large enough, then this rotational frequency take this asymptotic value. And this asterisk represent the results of numerical integration of the reaction diffusion equation. So, and as you can see, it's very nice agreement with this free boundary results. Okay, and As you can see, in principle, the curvature as a point Q plays not so important role in this approach. It's some intermediate parameter, but it's interesting to analyze this how this curvature as a point Q depends on the excitability B. It can be seen from this data that KQ can be approximated by such expression. It's practically a linear relationship for B near the critical value, but there is some term, very high order term. Okay, but if we have such analytical expression for curvature near the point Q, we can put this into the very well-known expression for the rotation frequency as a function of this KQ. It was obtained many years ago. And then you can obtain the analytical estimate of your rotational frequency as a function of the excitability. And this is a dashed line here. So you see in very nice agreement with the prediction of the free boundary problem. Okay, so what I would like to say, first of all, I would like to stress that these two solutions, this spiral lace rotating within a disk and the sport pinned to the boundary, they are two coexisting solutions, and they bifurcate from the same critical point. And this approach, due to this dimensionless formulation, allows us to study quite, it's quite a general approach, because okay, you can always compute the value of omega if you have the your given model, but such a presentation, such a function, they are universal, so they can describe the angular velocity in any excitable media, weakly excitable media. Okay. And in addition, we can use this to analyze some prediction of asymptotical approaches. For example, here you can see the tangential velocity of the tip. Yeah? Well-known Hakim and Kama paper describing the dynamics of spiral waves, it was shown that this tangential velocity is a linear function of excitability, and this is dashed line here. And this thick line represents the spiral wave tip velocity computed in the framework of this free boundary approach. You see, there is a difference, and the difference can be estimated like this. So this additional term proportional to the rotational frequency. But rotational frequency is another order approximation. So it's the order of this difference in power 3 over 2. So it's maybe useful to analyze these results and in order to try to construct the asymptotic with a little bit higher order asymptotic to obtain the this real relationship. For the stripes, for the segments rotating around the disk, the situation is much more complicated. Yes, there is no theory up to now about the tangential velocity of the spiral wave tip. But again, this numerical data obtained can help to construct some asymptotic for this case too. Yeah, okay, it's one unsolved problem up to now we discussed with this end. very long time we spent in this discussion. So it's the prediction of the of this free boundary problem. It's the date of integration of the action diffusion system, and this is prediction which are following from the Hakim-Karma paper. And it seems to me that in this region they are not very nice, but what happens in this region, exactly near the critical value of B, maybe we can look at in more detail what happens here, and it's interesting to analyze the situation exactly near this critical value. So I would like to say that such a free boundary approach, first of all, it is able to analyze a different rotating structure, and it can help to illustrate that this structure are in some sense similar, in some sense they are different. Yeah, from another point of view, this description is rather general and can help to analyze the this dynamics of these structures in wide variety of the weakly excitable media. And this approach can, I hope, it can help to elaborate further the this asymptotics method to of describing such rotating patterns. So that's all I would like to say today. Thank you very much for your attention.